just hold your place in Ephesians. I want to lay some foundation and make you aware of some things. So you heard from Willie Bovard this morning. You heard from Karen Stamper this morning. You heard from me. Did Debbie have a word? I saw her sitting up front. I don't know if she had a word if she came up front. Sometimes you hear from Veronica. You hear from a variety of people. That level of participation happens because there is a willingness both within the individuals to hear from the Lord, but also in our desire to hear from the body of Christ. And that takes some stewardship. Sometimes it's awkward. If you've been with us for any time, we fumble through it sometimes. We stumble our way in the grace, but our intent is always to put the Lord before us. Because the truth is, I am not the only one carrying the word of God. I am not the only one that can hear from the word or hear from the Lord. We all are responsible for that. And so one of the things about this house, about our value of vision and mission and the culture we're going to talk about this morning, is that there is a high level of participation. Now listen, yes, it comes with a great need for grace, because you might see someone get up here that we allow to have an open mic at times. And if you want to know our etiquette, the etiquette is be part of us, get to know Josh. If you have a word, come and share Josh, and know that there is a timing and an order to the things that we believe the Lord is doing. So that's the etiquette. But the heart of it is that, Lord, we know you are speaking to us and that we are each called to do our part. But what happens sometimes is you might see someone get up there, and they might be struggling because of nerves or feel uncomfortable or, you know, this awkward moment we just had because I don't know where the microphone is to help Jane out. But, you know, that those things happen. And there's a grace that we just need to contend for and continue to offer. But then there's also the grace of you knowing something that maybe the rest of us don't know about an individual that shouldn't disqualify them, but should provoke you to go and say to that individual, hey, I know that the Lord is speaking to you in your life. What are you doing about these other areas of your life? Don't come to me going, hey, did you know so-and-so is messing with this? Honestly, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But it still doesn't remove the fact that God can speak to us. And God wants to speak to us. What we want to cultivate is a place where heaven is meeting earth, earth is meeting heaven, and restoration, reconciliation, and renewal is happening. And sometimes it takes wading through the muck with someone else rather than standing on the shore and watching them struggle in their sand pit or in their quicksand. And telling me about it, telling Josh about it, gossiping about it, is not the kingdom, and it's not the culture that we want. It's also not the culture I believe we have, but it's something that I want to make sure we're shoring up. And so we've been talking about vision, and we've been talking about mission, and we're talking about the call that God has put upon our personal lives, but also our corporate life here at Echo Hills. And we've laid some foundation over the last few months about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, about understanding transition, about the nature of change, about preaching the gospel, about the need to understand the value of making disciples and serving humbly and giving generously and engaging community. All these things are a part of it, and it's a lot of words, but what does it really come down to? It comes down to, am I participating? Am I active in the faith and the gift that God has given me? And as Willie pointed out, many of us this week, we engaged in a corporate fast. We've been fasting all week. I gave you a little devotional. I encourage you to read Isaiah 42 all week. The beauty of that is Isaiah 42 talks about sing a new song unto the Lord. We love to sing a new song. We sang a new song. The new song, it has a different anointing. I was here at practice on Wednesday night, and I had just wandered in after doing some other stuff, and I thought they were kind of wrapping up, and I just took a seat right there, and they started singing this song, the song that we just sang. I think, are you calling it Smile? I missed the title. Smile. And Smile. And I'm just sitting right here, just waiting for them to kind of be done, and they're singing this song. And my spirit started to stir up. And I was like, And you know, Jacqueline and I, we have this little eye thing we can do and read each other without any words. And so she's, you know, banging away on the keys and she's looking at me and I'm looking at her and I'm like, I don't know this song. Not that I know all songs, but I'm pretty familiar. Jacqueline plays quite a bit at the house and just worships. And you know, Chad was leading this Sunday, so maybe he had picked a song I wasn't familiar with. And they're singing. And I'm like, there's something on this song. There's just something on this moment. I mean, I come to a lot of practices, and they're not like Sunday mornings, just so you know. And you're welcome to join us and worship in that time. But they're you know, it's practice. They're learning. They're growing together. They're participating. And so they stop, and I start to listen to them a little bit, and I realize it's a song that Chad has written. And it's just coming out of time with the Lord. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, our verse this week, our verse that day on Wednesday was verse 10 of Isaiah 42, and it's sing a new song unto the Lord. And he's sharing, and again, I'm not part of the conversation because they're doing their thing. He's talking about there's more to this song. Participate. What do you have to bring to this song? And I'm like, Lord, this is what you've called us to. This is where we want to go. This is the level of interaction that I believe we are called to have. And as good as the other songs are, as you know, somebody got them, somebody was receiving them, they're great. There's something that's different when you raise it up in your own house, when it's a reflection of what God is doing in the midst of us. And there were aspects of that song that did not exist Wednesday that came out this morning. Because something changed when all of a sudden the corporate body and the Spirit of God and all these angels that are showing up that are now participating, and we are each doing our part. We're each doing our part. And that's the level of participation that the Spirit is giving us unction unto. And this is what it feels like sometimes. Now, my wife loves to drive a little faster than I care to drive, and drives a little faster than I care to be a participant of. And now listen, many of you know me. I like change, and I like, you know, I like moving and I like doing things, but you know, there's a speed at which I feel like is comfortable, and it's usually the speed limit that's on the sign. And so to go a little beyond that, or to whip around a corner, or, you know, there's some roads in the city that she loves to drive because of certain things that can happen on those roads and all that kind of stuff. There's these, you know, we're in church, so I won't call them what I grew up being called. But you know, these oh shoot bars that, you know, you grab, and these handles, that, you know, you cling to and you white knuckle. And then, you know, we used to have this nice Tahoe that had this bar right in front that you could grab onto with two hands. You know, now the little Honda we drive doesn't have that. But there are times in the Spirit that he's going to move at a pace that might make you want to grab that oh shoot bar or the two handlebar in front of you. And the truth is, I trust my wife. I know she's a great driver. She's not reckless. Yet I still have this moment of, you know, what are we doing? The same is true in the Spirit. There are things that God will initiate that might cause you to go, I don't know what we're doing. But the picture that she gave us, or somebody gave us, was buckle up. Buckle up, you know, make sure your seatbelt is strapped, you know, cinch it, right? Because we're moving. The kingdom of heaven is in us, and it's wanting to move more. It needs to move more. If we just took our society and we looked around, what we recognize is that the participation of the church influencing the culture has waned. We have pulled back to where there are times when I feel like, oh, Lord, is there any chance of change? Is there any chance of turning this around? And he simply brings me back into his word, and he reminds me of the end. He reminds me of who he is. He reminds me of his nature. He reminds me of his way. He reminds me of his purposes. He reminds me of other seasons and other times. And there are things that you and I are called to do to activate the gift of faith that he's given us. But sometimes in order to activate that gift of faith, we need to posture ourselves to get a revelation. And so we've laid this foundation of revelation and activation so that we can get to a place where we're building a culture of engagement, a culture of participation. And so if you have your Bibles open to Ephesians 4, would you look at this with me? It'll be on the screen. Because we're talking about this nature of the kingdom and its place on earth, and therefore it has a culture. How many of you know that language embodies culture? That language will begin to define culture. And so some of you are searching for the language. Some of you are learning new language as you participate with us. The Lord is giving some of you new language because he wants you to understand the culture in which he's going to birth and raise things up. And so there's a culture to the kingdom that we are called to steward as the church. And so if we start in verse 11. We'll get to verse 16. There's this place where you and I are called to participate and build this culture. And it's the nature of embracing spiritual gifts. And it says in verse 11, it says, and he himself, that being Jesus, so these are the gifts of Jesus, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. So we've got these verses here that are showing us this culture that God intends for us to have and embrace through the gifts of Jesus. These gifts of Jesus will break down really quickly if you're not familiar with the language. The first is he gave some to be apostles, meaning he gave some the commissioning to equip the saints to make sure that they're always going, that they're being sent, that there's this perspective to see beyond the moment, to see beyond the room, to see beyond the neighborhood. And some of you have this tendency to look beyond the moment and see strategy and plans for things outside of your control or even your influence. And that is the birthing of an apostolic nature. That is the nature of Jesus in you, because it's a gift of Jesus to see that things need to be moved. Things need to start going somewhere. That we've got to put a plan in place. That there's strategy to these purposes. That there's a way and a solution. Listen, one of the greatest attributes that you and I carry as born-again believers filled with the Holy Spirit is that we get to be solutionaries to the problems of the world. That you and I actually can bring a solution. And you don't need a degree. You don't need the college education all the time. You don't need the status. You don't need the title. You just need to be available, and God will get you in the back door to a conference room that you deposit solutions. Because the Spirit of God. And you might need to walk around a haystack 7 times to get there and find a trumpet to blow. But if you're obedient, all of a sudden things are going to break forth. For others of us, the thought of even trying to come up with a plan, the thought of strategizing a plan, and I'm not talking about administrative gifts. Yes, administrative gifts lend themselves to the apostolic. But it's this understanding that you don't see it as a problem, but as an opportunity, and there's a solution. The apostles were called messengers, and they were given the message of Jesus Christ and called to go and make disciples. Now, you and I carry an apostolic call, all of us. And if we're doing this right, as we look at this, as we're participating with it, we're all going to be equipped to be apostolic. The second is that he gave some to be prophets. And these prophets, these apostles, are leaders. They are meant to teach. And the prophetic is about seeing in the Spirit. It's about seeing and knowing the heart of God. In the Old Testament, the prophets were the ones that came before the people and represented God. The priests were the ones that came before the Lord and represented the people. The kings were the ones that established dominion and said, this is our domain according to God. And we saw this threefold nature of apostles, or kings and priests and prophets. Now we call them apostles and prophets. Where their role is, again, to steward what God is depositing in the earth. To reveal what God is saying and wants to say. To show us a path that we might not be able to see. So the partnership that we see throughout Scripture is apostles and prophets need to work hand in hand. Because they're getting the word of the Lord and the strategy of the Lord, and they're understanding how to implement it. And that is the equipping that the body of Christ is supposed to be experiencing. That's the growth that we're supposed to be having because of the culture of apostles and prophets. Now, some of you, you've grown up in denominations or in theology that, you know, has dismissed apostles and prophets. And so some of this might be hard to say. I don't think there's many of us in this room, but you've had to wade through that. Others of you know people that don't recognize apostles and prophets, or there's the weirdness of making too much out of it and, you know, entitlement and all of that, because there's a place of honor that God intended for apostles and prophets to have in the equipping of the saints for the edification of the body. The next gift that he points out here that Jesus has given us is the gift of evangelists. The gift to equip us, not to become an evangelist, but to all understand that we are all called to go and preach the gospel to the lost. That we are called to take the ministry of Jesus Christ to the brokenhearted in the unction of his spirit. And the heart of an evangelist is for the lost. And so if you're here and you carry this great heart for the lost, for the brokenhearted, chances are there's an evangelist waiting to wake up in you and be activated, not just so you go reach them and you become our token that we send out, but so that the rest of us get convicted by the commissioning that the Spirit of God has put on you. Because we're all called. We're all called to go. And defining evangelism is changing over time because there used to be a season where the evangelist was the crazy guy that didn't comb his hair, didn't shower, didn't bathe, and he stood on the street corner with a sign saying, "You're going to hell." That is not the picture of what God called evangelists to be. Jesus is the evangelist that you and I are called to model. Jesus bowed down before a woman that was thrown before him and said, you know, "Sin no more. Who shall cast the first stone?" And he forgave her. He evangelized to her right now, right there in that moment. Jesus walking up to a woman that has interrupted him by grabbing the hem of his garment and getting healed and stopping the whole crowd and saying, "Who touched me?" He evangelized to everybody right there by saying, "Who touched me?" Virtue, power has left me and I want to know where it went. The evangelist is concerned about where the power of the glory of the Lord is being preached. And it was being preached in that woman's heart as she was manifesting her healing after years of bleeding. And he stopped and he evangelized to her, much at the detest of everybody else and to the disciples. "What do you mean who's touched you? Everybody's touching you. We're in a mob." The heart of the evangelist has this gift to wait in ways that are very different than the apostle. The heart of the evangelist has the posture to implement the gospel differently than the prophet. And therefore it's necessary because it's part of the expression of Jesus that you and I are called to participate in. The pastor, the shepherd, most of us are familiar with this. The pastor, can I say it this way? The pastor has, maybe I won't say it that way. I want to honor pastors. I'm not a strong pastor. I carry the title of a pastor because that's what we've slapped on the church leader, pastor. I'm not a strong pastor. Many of you know that, especially if you sit with me one-on-one, you realize, yeah, let's, you know, the soul care that a shepherd is graced with is incredible. It's a gift. The ability to be gentle, to be tender. My wife is laughing. Yes. Yeah. Some of you who know me are laughing. Yes. Exactly. You know, to sit with someone, to walk with them. You know, that's a gift. That's an aspect of Jesus. And though I'm not strong in it, I want to grow in it because it's about Jesus manifesting. And there's a value. And yet I will say this, is that part of the reason why the church has retreated from the culture is because we have put pastors at the helm that are honestly overwhelmed by the brokenness of humanity. God never intended for the church to be led by just a pastor. Because the weight of burden and brokenness and despair was never going to be solved through the sole care of a pastor's gift. It was meant to be looked at in the perspective of how do we solve these issues apostolically? How do we bring the word of God prophetically? How do we build inroads to reach them evangelistically so that when we are there one-on-one, we then know how to care for their soul, how to care for their spirit that's been broken? Which leads us to the fifth one. To then be able to teach them the ways of the Lord. And what God is correcting and what we are trying to cultivate even in our own house is that we want to be the fullness of Jesus. We want the gifts of Jesus to manifest in our presence. We want the gifts of Jesus to be honored. What we say in coining this is that we want the fivefold ministry of Jesus. We want apostles being apostles. We want prophets being prophetic. We want the evangelists to evangelize. We want the pastors to shepherd. We want the teachers to train. But it's unto the whole body being equipped. Because if you look at the 2 points here that make this verse important, is that it was for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. So when all these are operating and we are all participating, there is an equipping and an edification that begins to happen in our midst. And I want to stop for just a moment and just in the spirit of repentance, I want to apologize and I want to ask for forgiveness as a representative of the pulpit, as a representative of church leaders, and repent before you, repent before the Father, and repent before the Lord on behalf of our generation and be a representative. And so if you just contend with me, and if you have a spiritual language, pray in the Spirit. But I want you to hear the words, and I want you to hear the Spirit of God, and I want to be moved by this, because as I was fasting this week, I just saw the Lord beginning to clear and untangle roads that have just been manipulated and manufactured out of man's efforts and blocked off and roadblocked and landmined because we, the leadership of churches, have hijacked what God made so simple. This is the culture that my church is supposed to exist in. This is the culture that my sons and daughters are supposed to be edified in. And so, Heavenly Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin, for the forgiveness of the sin of the leadership of this church, for the sin of the church and its leadership, where, Lord, we have settled on one voice, one gift, one title, one expression of the pastor, or whatever church has embodied one aspect, rather than pursuing the fullness of what you have to offer, Jesus. And Lord, I ask that where there has been wounding, where there have been curses, where there has been a bondage and an entanglement and a fettering and a chaining up of the saints, where we don't edify, where we don't equip, because we didn't understand the gift, we didn't understand the nature, we didn't understand pursuing the fullness, Father, I ask for forgiveness for myself. I ask on behalf of this church, its history, Lord, and I ask on behalf as a representative of senior leadership, forgive us, Father. Holy Spirit, I ask for the blood of Jesus to be appropriated right now. For any transgression, for the iniquity, for the sin that has defiled or hindered the beauty of your fullness, Jesus. Your fullness to edify and equip us. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, thank you. Amen. So there are times when you participate, not as a spectator, but as someone in agreement. And then there's other times that you participate by taking the lead or partnering with others. And so as we move through these next few verses here, I want you to look at the nature of celebrating our diversity. And starting in verse 13, it says, "Till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God." So again, we've got this fivefold ministry that we're called to participate with, and it's supposed to bring us into a place of unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Amen? So this participation that you and I are called to, whether it's the nature of being equipped because we're just discovering our gift mix, or whether it's through the edification because now we're applying our gift mix and helping others, we see God fully define what the culture is supposed to look like. So we can talk about vision all day. We can talk about our mission to go and make the glory of the Lord's name resound and make disciples and serve humbly and give generously and do all these things. But if we don't have a culture in which that can grow up in, then we're just going to continue to fight against one another, to defile one another, to butt heads, to not love one another. And eventually we will dissipate and disappear and no longer be an assembly of the kingdom of God on earth. And some of us have seen that. Some of us may have been a part of other churches. Some of us, you know, we have a heart for that, and so we want to make sure that happens, doesn't happen. But what we find here in the verses is exactly how to do it. Is you get the fivefold ministry active, and then you begin to recognize that the edification and the equipping of the saints leads us to something. And it leads us to this unity of faith. It leads us into this place of connecting. It leads us into this place where the knowledge of the Son of God is increasing. Something that you and I should be experiencing every day is the increase of the knowledge of the Son of God. Josh said it earlier. We have this phrase that we used to be an anthem all the time, and now we pick it up here and there. But it's, if you want to see and do something you've never done, excuse me. If you want to see what you've never seen, you've got to do what you've never done. Meaning it's going to take doing something different to get a different result. One of the things that I know many of you are familiar with is if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over, expecting it to change, what do you call that? Insanity, right? And so there's a little bit of insanity in the church right now. We keep doing the same thing over and over and over, thinking that it's going to produce a different result. Listen, some of the traditions that God gave us, He wants to change. Some of the traditions that we gave one another through our own mind and our own strength and our own influence, He definitely wants to change. And being able to discern that and move in the Spirit to untangle those things takes a grace and a giftedness that Jesus said, I have given you by my Spirit. And He's given it to us in such a manner that, again, what we get equipped with is that we're no longer children just being tossed to and fro from here to there. That we're not carried about by every wind of doctrine. So someone comes along and says some odd thing to you, doctrinally. And there's something in your spirit that goes, I don't think that's right. But I don't know why it's not right. What is that, Lord? You get to come back to those that are equipping the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers and say, hey, so I was sitting with this individual, and he's saying that he's living his third life, and that by the Spirit of transfiguration, he's now embodied what God wants all of us to look like. Is that like legit? Is that what, you know? And it's like, you know, this is how these gifts work. The apostle will say, no, just move on. You know, get going. You know, the prophet's going to come and say, hey, the word of the Lord is. The evangelist is going to say, you sit down with them and you make sure they walk hand in hand with you and they follow you so that they can learn the ways of the Lord. And the pastor is going to say, hey, let's have a sit down. Let's really talk about, you know, life number two. What experience do you think you had? You know, let's get to the root of this. Let's realize that this isn't true. Let's get the word of God involved. Let's worship. You know, let's care. What's in your soul that's clinging to this? And the teacher's going to come along and equip through the word and grounding and history and pull in resources, all that stuff. That's going to take all of us. And if I'm not good at that, some of you are capable of being the one that can do all of that. But don't be discouraged if you can't. Because what gets to happen is now the unity of the body of Christ can say, hey, you know what? Listen, I have someone that you should meet. Like, let's go talk to Valerie and Ron over here. And, you know, and now, unfortunately, what a lot of apostles do will go, hey, listen, you prophetic, pastoral, gifted people. Here you go. Let me know how it goes, because I'm moving on. You know, and we equip and we hand off and we send. But here's the other thing, too. Again, apostolic prophetic leadership. Being able to come back and go, hey, how's it going? Well, we've spent 2 years trying to work on this. And I'd be like, no, like it, move on. Like if there's no growth, if there's no willingness to change, if there, now the pastor's heart would say, thank you so much. Give it another 2 years, you know, and are they wrong? Maybe not, but there's got to be a fivefold working so that we're all equipping, because maybe what they're not able to see, a pastor can come along and go, oh, you know what? There is some growth. Or the evangelist can see, yes, they are beginning to shift and change. And so we need to understand the value of the unity that this culture is supposed to create and the grace that comes with it. The last verse here dives into this idea of participation. Verse 16, and again, this is the context of the culture that we're looking at, wanting to flourish here and continue to nurture here. It says, from whom the whole body, say the whole body, joined and knit together. Now, I know some of you, you read those words, and there's a reason why you sit on the south side and not on the north side. There's a reason why you show up 5 minutes late rather than 5 minutes early. Because this whole idea of being knitted together, joined together, it's really uncomfortable for you. But there's a grace here, and we'll partner you with some pastoral care. So there's a lot of pastors in the house that would more than willingly meet you before, meet you after, help you connect, and grow in this area. But we are called as the whole body to be joined together, to be knitted together by every joint, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I'll come back and hit on these verses, because here's a few notes that I have for you if you make notes in your Bible. According to the effective work. If you want to write Spirit right there, Holy Spirit. According to the effective work. The effective work is defined by the ministry of the Spirit. The effective work is authored by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some of the things that we do might seem super successful, but if they are not birthed in the Spirit, they will not carry the inheritance and the promise that God intends for the earth to receive through that work. So there is an effective work that carries with it the nature of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, that sometimes we overlook because of our own strength, our own ability, our own capabilities. And not to say that that's not of good use, but we want to be a people that have a culture where we know that what we're doing is going to be effective, not just for us, not just for Echo Hills, but for the kingdom of God and its advancement on earth as it is in heaven. And so we come to this place and we recognize that, Lord, as we get knitted together, as we are joined together, and every joint brings its own supply in the Spirit, we then can begin to share in what God is doing. You've heard me say this before. The issue in the body of Christ is not its members. It's our joints. It's where we're choosing to connect with one another. It's where we're cutting off connection and refusing to acknowledge the union that we're supposed to have. Now, the hard part, and I'll be honest with you, I hang out with a lot of pastors, and I hang out with a lot of pastors that have different theological backgrounds and beliefs. And so we sit and we have these discussions and we pray and I hear things and we ask questions. And there's this thing in me that continues to say, Lord, help me stay present, because I know that we are called to be joined together. Now, I'm not hanging out with people that are rebuking and denying Jesus Christ, or that don't acknowledge the blood of Jesus or the cross of Jesus or the resurrection of Jesus. But I do hang out with people that don't have the same understanding of speaking in tongues that I do, that don't have the same understanding of signs and wonders and miracles that I do or that we do. But I know that, Lord, I don't want that to be what breaks the union of the body of Christ. And if anything, what I want to do is continue to try and steward a relationship where I'm willing to hear, but I'm also able to speak into. And that is something that is earned because of the value of relationship. Some of you are struggling with trust issues because you've walled yourself off so deeply and so far away from encountering truth that now you begin through isolation to believe things that are not true. The enemy has an easy way of getting in there and beginning to distort so that he can fortify that wall which he has been part of building. And that doesn't mean you always have to agree. You won't agree. We won't always agree. But we do need to contend for what is truth. And in that same breath, let me say this. Yes, there are needs for boundaries. And yes, there are blatant lies that we do need to be discerning of. But we also need to guard our heart from ever believing that they are beyond God's reach. That they are ever outside of God's grace. Until he comes again and restores all things, he has called us to join him in ministering his love. And I know there are difficult situations and there's challenging debates out there and we can get lost in the winds of doctrine. But let us hold on to what is true. And know this, that you're not holding on by yourself. So if somebody's coming and they're debating and they're laying down things that you don't understand, have the freedom to just simply say to them, you know what? I don't know if I agree with all that. And then come back to a place that you know is safe, that is grounded, that is going to pursue the word of God, that's going to see it from a fivefold ministry expression, the gifts of Jesus, so that then you can be resourced to continue to engage in that conversation. And it might involve getting discipled in some areas. But don't ever hesitate to be honest with the truth of going, you know what? I don't know if I really understand what you're even talking about. And yeah, they may belittle you. They might persecute you. They might mock you. They might put you down. But your honesty with them and yourself and the pursuit of truth will always triumph, will always prevail. It might take some time because it might take some training. But thinking that you have to know it all or have a comeback for every wind of doctrine, I mean, that's insanity. And so there's this place that you and I are called to participate. And the challenge of every congregation is to see the active contribution of everybody. Because there are seasons that we are all walking through. There are ages. The demographic in the room is vast. Some of us are not as available as others. Some of us don't have the energy that others have. Some of us definitely don't have the history that others have. But that doesn't disqualify you. The challenge you and I will continually face because of the tactics and schemes of the enemy is to believe that you belong. To believe that you are part of the family of God. To believe that you are part and that in your part there is something that you have to offer. Because what we do recognize is that every part does its share. Every part does its share. And let me say this, because this is where I want to release you and send you out with some thought this morning to have some discussion with some friends, some family members that's in your notes, is your time of offering a certain part, participating, might be changing. And it might require you to extend us some grace as we get familiar with your new expression. You tracking what I'm saying? Some of you realize that there is an expression in me, there is a pursuit in me, there is a desire in me that is going to look different than it has in the past. And what might be a little startling for others is, whoa, Henry, slow the horse down. Come on, who do you think you are? You know? Or some of you have come and said to me, you know, Jeff, there's something different about you. And I'm like, yes, I took a shower. Or, you know, I mean, I put deodorant on. What are you talking about? The anointing, the authority, the perspective, the sharpness, the clarity. And yes, I know I'm coming out of things. There are things that you have been doing faithfully. And maybe even around here and we don't even know it. Maybe you've been serving in ways. Maybe you check light bulbs and we don't know it. And now I'm walking around going, how come these light bulbs aren't getting changed? And you have changed, meaning your availability to do that is no longer the same. Some of you have faithfully served and stewarded this facility. And maybe the Lord's asking you to serve in a different capacity, to serve somewhere else. And what we need to do is communicate that. Because I am wandering around going, who used to change these light bulbs? Who changes these light bulbs? Somebody should be changing these light bulbs. You know, things like that. Helping in kids ministry. Desiring to cultivate a generation that understands who they are. Some of you have been so faithful. And listen, if this is you, you do not get to stop. Some of you have been so faithful to bring food. To bring desserts. That's not changing. That is a word from the Lord that I'm delivering, and I'm telling you that it's not changing. Amen. Yes, the rest of us are thankful that you don't feel any change or need to change. You know, but again, some of you have wondered, like, well, they always seem to bring the food. You know, what about me? Find out. You know, or just bring it. Cause the awakening that's going on in you to get some traction through participation. Get some traction through not just the revelation and the activation, but participate. There's opportunities. The women are doing stuff around here more. You'll see things this year. We're going after this. The men, we had a men's breakfast yesterday morning. It was great. We'll continue to do this every fourth Saturday of the month, 8:30. Come and participate. We'll make more announcements. There's other opportunities. There's needs. Mark and Linda Haugen took the kids out this morning. Mike and Charity took the youth out. We're trying to coordinate. One of the things that we'll talk about participating next Sunday is the structure. Looking at the form that the culture is going to start to need. Because we see that the culture has apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. But how do you facilitate that? God gave us a very clear picture in Genesis 1. And it was in the picture of family. The picture of a family. How do we participate as a family with many members? And so on the back of your notes, we'll get into that next Sunday. On the back of your notes this morning, if you didn't get a set of notes, be sure to grab some. Here's some discussion questions that I want you praying into this week. And I am going to intentionally read them. I know you can read, but I want to just leave you with this revelation. I want you to reflect on the roles mentioned in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Which of these roles do you see most exemplified in our church community right here? Because we have a tendency to lean and express one thing, and we're trying to even that out. But what I'm hoping for next week, because this is where, should I tell you this? So next Sunday is going to be highly participatory. So I laid a lot of foundation today, but next Sunday you will be engaging in conversation. So that's why I want you looking at these reflection questions, because next Sunday this is what the notes will be. So this is what we'll do. So this week, what roles do you see most exemplified in our church community? How have you personally been impacted by individuals operating in these roles? Did somebody come and give you a prophetic word? Did somebody help you with strategy? Did somebody walk through a difficult situation with you? Has somebody led you to the Lord and got you here? Which one are you most familiar with personally? Which one are you least familiar with? So next week, we're going to discuss this. We're going to participate. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to take what he's showing us and connect with one another. The second thing, in Ephesians 13 to 15, Paul emphasizes the importance of unity, maturity, and growth in the body of Christ. How can we practically support one another in our journey towards spiritual maturity? What are some barriers or challenges that may hinder our growth, and how can we overcome them? So again, next Sunday, what I want you to be able to show up with are some ideas and thoughts. So when we start to participate and solicit some of this and engage in some back and forth, that you're sitting there and you've consciously and intentionally thought through this and have something to participate with. And the third one comes out of verse 16, and it says, this verse highlights the concept of every part doing its share, contributing to the growth of the body in love. Reflect on your own role within our church community. How can you actively contribute to the growth and well-being of our church family? So that's the word family again, and we'll lay that foundation next week a little bit more. It says, what steps can you take to fulfill your role more effectively? Again, this week I am praying that you would take this seriously, you would weigh these questions, you would reflect on them, you might even journal them, you might do it more than one day and let the Lord continue to expand on it, so that when you show up next Sunday and we lay the foundation of understanding that we're to embody a family structure and then try to participate as a family and solicit responses and share responses and pray for responses, that we would be better off and have a greater sense of the unity that we're called to carry. Amen? Awesome. Josh, why don't you send us out? And